So when it comes to vitamin D, UV radiation is held to be the best natural source of vitamin D. But typically when we hear about that, it's usually about avoiding it or avoiding too much sun exposure. Is there something of a balancing act between the benefits and the harms of exposure to UV?
Yeah, there is. There is. Certainly, we make our vitamin D in our skin through the action of UVB onto the skin. And when we are telling people to be careful about their sun exposure, we tell them to be careful about UV radiation in general, because there's a very strong link between excessive UV radiation and skin cancer. So people need to try and find that middle road. In reality, though, it's not as difficult as it sounds, because it doesn't take very much light for you to be able to generate the vitamin D that you need.
What are some of the actual health drawbacks of not having enough vitamin D?
I guess to start with, there's a lot of mythology about vitamin D, and we often get people saying, I went to my GP because I was feeling run down, or I had aches and pains, and they've found I have a low vitamin D. Most of those symptoms aren't associated with, really attributable rather, to a low vitamin D. What we do know is that if you have sustained low levels of vitamin D, it will affect the way you make your bones. And in children, it manifests as rickets, and in adults as osteopenia, so a thinning of the bones. Rickets is almost unheard of in Australia, except in very, very restricted circumstances. But it's in the adults that we become a bit more concerned about their low vitamin D levels. That if they're sustained, particularly in women over a long period of time, we might be facing a problem down the track with thinning of bones and increased risk of fractures as they age.
Are there certain people that are more in need of more vitamin D, or indeed more tolerant to UV radiation?
It's an interesting question. What we do know, if you look at the flip side of the coin, are people who we know tend to have a low vitamin D in our community. We're talking about people with skin of colour, tend to have a lower vitamin D, and people in the covered community because they don't expose so much of their skin to the light normally, we know very frequently have a low vitamin D. There's also some data to show that vitamin D deficiency is more common in young females. There was a study done in Geelong some time ago that found a number of them became borderline or low through the winter months. In terms of people who are resistant to vitamin D synthesis, I mean, obviously, if you have a darker skin type, then you've got a sort of an endogenous filter in your skin, and it means that you're going to make your vitamin D a little bit more slowly than someone with very fair skin. Nevertheless, as I said before, you actually don't need that much light to make your vitamin D levels acceptable. It's probably not as significant as you would think, except it very high latitudes, you know, right down southern Tasmania and southern New Zealand and so on.
Mm. Well, as you say, I mean, obviously Australia, we have this relationship with the sun that can be a little bit worrying at times. Obviously, skin cancer is a very real threat for a lot of Australians. How do we measure safe levels of UV, of sun exposure?
Basically, we have a great service these days because the Weather Bureau will provide a daily readout of the UV index, and people will be able to see, if they look at the BOM website, what the UV index is for the day, and most of the other weather websites do the same, and you can actually see whether you're going to be at risk or not. And basically, at the anyone where the UV radiation is above moderate should be taking care. And certainly when it's in severe, you should be practicing your five sun protection methods that we talk about.
And what do you make of the messaging we see on public health on these kind of issues? I mean, overall, do you think our messaging is pretty much on point?
Look, I think it is. You need to sell fairly uncomplicated messages to get people to be able to to comply, because we know, in fact, that most people don't comply as much as we would like. And if we start making it more complicated, it's actually more likely to generate confusion and have people not do as we would like. So the message that we get tends to be a very simple one, and that is basically that if the UV index is high to severe, then you need to be protected, and that you should do that by wearing protective clothing, by wearing a hat, by wearing sun protective glasses, by putting on a sunscreen, and avoiding activities in the sun or seeking shade. Those are the five things that we talk about. And if we keep it a simple message like that, we're not going to do any harm. As I said before, we make our vitamin D relatively quickly in the sunlight. So they've done studies in Europe, and imagine how much less UV there is in Europe than in Australia. And they've shown that, you know, 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes in the cooler months of sunscreen on unprotected forearms in the middle of the morning is enough. Of sunlight on the forearms in the middle of the morning is enough to provide you with all the vitamin you need.
Fabulous.
So you know, you don't have to sort of whip off the shirt and chase the lawnmower around the yard for half an hour to make your vitamin D. And in fact, the paradox to that is vitamin D is degraded by sunlight. So if once you've made your vitamin D, if you go out and get more sun, what you're actually doing is degrading it, not making more. You get to the point where the skin actually physically can't make any more very quickly, and after that you start to break down what you've made.
Well, Andrew, thank you very much. I really do appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
My pleasure.